This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, a very interesting chapter. We've been looking at the seven seals that are on the scroll that have been opened. And we looked at the fifth seal last week, the sixth seal rather, and the physical disturbances that came upon the earth. The fifth seal, which was the martyrdom of the saints. And now we're going to be looking at really an interlude. It's a revelation that the Lord allows John to see after the sixth seal has been opened. And let's read chapter 7 this evening. "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, leaving the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000, and all the tribes of the children of Israel. And the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in the white robes? And whence come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these verses and to be encouraged by them, and to see the tremendous mercy and grace that you show, even in the face of your judgment. And Father, you desire that all men be saved, and no man would have to face the judgment and the wrath of the Lamb. And Father, may we be encouraged as we look at these words tonight. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we looked at the sixth seal last Wednesday evening, we saw that that seal was open and it was to be pouring out upon the earth tremendous physical disturbances as God's judgment was coming upon the earth. But before that happens, all of a sudden we see an angel appear and he cries out to stop, and he has there four angels that hold back this judgment. And the reason that they're holding back this judgment is so that 144,000 men can be commissioned for a special project. And that project is to proclaim the gospel to the whole world. Now, if you look at what has happened, the church has been raptured. The Antichrist has come to power. And we're seeing that the last 7 years of history are beginning to be played out as we look at these events going on. Within the world, even at that time, there are literally millions upon millions of people that have never heard the gospel. Today you can go into the world, in many parts of the world, and they have never heard about Jesus Christ. You don't have to go very far. You can go in our own country and people haven't heard about Jesus Christ. Look at the young people in America today and how many of them have not been exposed to the true gospel. And we see that Jesus commissions 144,000 men. These men are very unique men. They're all Jewish men. And the Lord, people say, well, how do we know what tribe these men can come out of? Well, first of all, the Lord knows the tribes. He knows which men are which men, which tribe is which tribe, who is descended from whom. If you look at our lives, unless you've spent a lot of time on Ancestors.com, you probably don't know many people beyond your great-grandparents in your family. If you look at your family tree. But you know something? God knows them all. He knows where you came from. He knows who your ancestors are. He knows where they lived. He knows what kind of people they were, whether they were godly people or ungodly people. And so consequently, it's no problem for God to know who is of what tribe in the nation of Israel. Now, it's interesting, he lists 12 tribes here, but there's really two groups of people missing. There's one tribe missing, and there's one group of people that's really listed in other portions of Scripture that are missing as well. As you go through the 12 tribes that are listed, you see that Levi is listed, but in the most listings, when it comes to inheritance of the land and other things, Levi has always been replaced by the two sons by one of the sons of Joseph, and Joseph has been replaced by the other son. So you have Manasseh and Ephraim that take the place of Joseph and Levi. However, here in this listing, you see that Levi is listed. And you also see that Joseph is listed, but Ephraim is missing. The other tribe that is missing and not here is Dan. Now, why would Dan and Ephraim not be listed amongst these that are commissioned to go out as evangelists proclaiming the gospel? If you go back in the Old Testament and you look at the history of Israel, you will see that when Jeroboam came to power, he established the ungodly Baal worship in the northern kingdom. And he established two centers of worship. One was at Bethel, which was in the tribe that was inherited by the tribe of Ephraim. The other place that it was established was in Tel Dan, which was in the very northern part of Israel, and it's the part that Dan, the tribe of Dan, migrated to when the Philistines drove them out, and they migrated to the northern part of Israel, and that's where they settled. If you also look back even further at the time of the judges in the nation of Israel, you'll see that idol worship was brought back strongly by the tribe of Dan into the nation of Israel. As they migrated, what they did is they stopped and gathered the idols of an Ephraimite, and they took his idols, and they also took a man who was not to be a priest and made him a priest over them, and they worshipped these false idols. And so Dan and Ephraim had a strong influence for idol worship and coming back in strength into the nation of Israel, especially the northern tribes, and resulting in the northern tribes being taken into captivity much sooner than Benjamin and Judah were taken into captivity. A lot of Bible scholars believe that that's probably why Dan and Ephraim aren't listed. And instead of Ephraim, Joseph listed, and instead of Dan, Levi's listed. But these 144,000 men have been commissioned for a very specific purpose. And we're going to just look at that in just a moment. One other thing I want to say about those two tribes, is you will go back and once again at the end of the book of Revelation, you'll see that Dan is once again placed back in, and where he lists the 12 tribes, they become the 12 original tribes, and where the land has been in the past, but in the new Jerusalem, when the land is given out again, and the tribes are awarded special blessings by the Lord, you see that all 12 sons of Israel are listed again. Joseph is listed, and Manasseh and Ephraim are not there, but rather they are there in Joseph. And then you also see that Levi is listed and Dan is listed. And so there's a specific purpose that they're not here, and I think it has to deal with evangelism and being blessed to take the gospel message to the unsaved of the earth. We see then in verse 9 an interesting thing. At the very time that wickedness is permeating the earth in a way that it has never happened before, even more wickedness than was at the time of Noah is there now. The Lord says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Lord returns. And we see that that's happening. But now you have a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world political system, all being headed up by a man that's not just inspired, but he's rather really possessed by Satan. And he's given direction by Satan and power by Satan. And the world is called to worship this man. And that'll be being presented to us in its completeness in later studies. But that's the scenario of what's happening in the world. And if you ever thought that there'd be a time where revival and evangelism would not occur, it would be then. Yet we see one of the greatest evangelistic efforts in the history of the world is going to occur at this time. And we see that there are people from every tongue and every tribe and every nation that will come to know Jesus Christ during this time. Now the problem is their life on this earth will not be very long. If you go back to chapter 6 and look at verse 9, and it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And we see here that there's a martyrs all before the throne of God crying out for His judgment to come. If you go later on and you read in Revelation where it gets more into specifics of what's happening on the earth, you'll see that the Antichrist says that anyone who will not take his seal upon their forehead or upon their hand, their right hand, will be killed. And they will not be able to buy or sell, and if they do not bow down and worship Him, they will be killed or martyred. Well, if you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be willing to take the seal of the one who stands against the God that you love. And so consequently, these people, the majority of them are going to be martyred. Now, the Bible tells us that some are alive at the end of the tribulation along with some Jews. And they go into the thousand-year reign in their physical bodies. But we see that the majority of them are martyred. And here we have this picture, and it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palms in their hands." The picture of them being clothed in white robes, that's a picture of their salvation, their righteousness, their holiness, and that they have been covered with that by the Lord. They've been given that by the Lord. And with palms in their hands, palms showing their worship of God and the fact that they come to honor Him. "And he cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." So we see that these are true believers. And they're standing before the throne of God. Now, all the angels stood around the throne. And we see also that we have the elders, the 24 elders, the 24 elders, which are symbolic of the church. They're before the throne. And all of those fell down in worship of the Lamb and worshiped Him, saying Amen. And then once again, calling out the worship of the Lord, saying blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. And if you look at why would they say those things right at this time, because they look and they see in the midst of all this wickedness, in the midst of all this evil, God redeemed a great multitude. God saved those out of all of this wickedness, and they are His. That is the power, the majesty, the glory, the mercy, the grace, the love, the authority of who God is and His great ability to save in the midst of tremendous wickedness. And this should give us tremendous hope. The hand of the Lord is not short. The hand of the Lord can reach out and touch people's lives no matter what their circumstance and no matter where they're at and no matter what the conditions of those around them are. God is able to touch lives. I remember a number of years ago I saw a movie. It was about Tony, a man by the name of Tony Fontaine. We have a song in our hymn book that the Gaithers wrote and that became a song that was really his testimony. He touched me. And he would just sing this song. Tony Fontaine was a man who was involved with the mob, and he was also a nightclub singer and was being funded by the mob and being promoted. He was being promoted along with other guys that you've heard a lot more of, Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, some of these people being promoted by the same people that pushed them up and gave them opportunities to become very wealthy men. Tony Fontaine was convicted of his need to have a Savior. And he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord. And he was threatened that he had committed himself to these men to sing, that they could make money off of his voice. But Tony Fontaine said, "I'm giving my life to Jesus." And under threat of being killed, he left that lifestyle and he went and sang for the Lord instead. God can reach people in situations we think are impossible for Him to reach people. You can look at many of the people that David Wilkerson reached when he began his ministry in New York City, going amongst gangs and going in and talking to them about Jesus. And when he was in there talking to them about the Lord, later on, one of the men that was saved was Nicky Cruz, who became a preacher. There's a book written about Nicky Cruz and about David Wilkerson and all that happened. And in that book, it talked about the fact that as David Wilkerson went in and went into these gangs where they were meeting and went into them and talked about Jesus. And later on, when Nicky became a believer, he was talking to David. He says, "You know, we were going to kill you. But we couldn't. It was as if we couldn't touch you. But we wanted to kill you. We didn't want to hear what you had to say. But yet it was as if God was saying, 'No, you're going to listen. And you can't touch this man.'" You see, that's what's going to happen to these 144,000. They've been sealed with the Lord, by the Lord. And no matter how much the Antichrist wants them to stop saying the message they're proclaiming, he will not be able to touch them because they're God's and God has placed his seal upon them and he's commissioned them to proclaim the gospel to the whole world that never had a chance to hear before the Antichrist came to power and the Christians left the earth. And God wanted to make sure every person had a chance to hear his message. It's interesting, later on in the book of Revelation, you'll see that there's an angel that goes about and proclaims from heaven the gospel message. These 144,000 are proclaiming the gospel message. Later on, at the midpoint of the tribulation, you know, there are two witnesses, and they proclaim the gospel message. You see, God is not going to leave the world without allowing everyone an opportunity to hear His Word so that they will know the mercy and the grace of God and they can never stand before the Lord saying, I never had the opportunity to hear your word. And this is a tremendous picture of God's grace and mercy. As these literally almost innumerable people are before the throne of God that have been saved. And we know that they came out of the tribulation. Why? Because, verse 13, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And John doesn't know. And so he says to the elder, "I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest." And he said unto me, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white." How? In the blood of the Lamb. So we see that those that are saved in the tribulation are saved the same way that you and I were saved. Our sins were washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And we were given a robe that is white that we can wear, not covered by our own righteousness, but covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so that one day we can stand before the throne of God in our white robe, praising the Lord, as all of these are praising the Lord, and can join our voices with them in saying these things about our Lord. And this is just a tremendous picture of God's grace and mercy. Now, why is it important that God allows us to see this? Because sometimes we can get discouraged. Is you can go out and you can share with people, and it appears that nothing's happening. But you don't know the seeds that you're planting that others will water and that the Lord will bring to fruition. And that if God can work in the hearts and lives of people in the midst of tremendous wickedness and darkness that the world has never known before, and yet He saves literally millions out of that situation, He can use us today when the darkness isn't quite that dark yet, and we can be used by Him to proclaim the truth of His Word. May we be used of God, and may we understand that just as He's with these 144,000, He said that He's with us, and He's commissioned us to proclaim this Word. And may we be able to join with those around the throne in this day, saying amen, blessing and glory, and wisdom and thanksgiving, and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be encouraged by these words. Help us to be encouraged by this account that You are greater than all the wickedness of the evil one in this world system that would attempt to stifle this message, and that those that had not heard the gospel would never be able to hear it, yet You make means by which all men hear. And Father, I pray that in our day and age, You would give us the opportunities to share with others the hope that we have in Jesus, and that we would be unashamed, and that we could be used by You. Lord, go with us now and help us to see the opportunities as they lay ahead in the rest of this week and in the week to come. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.